Hey, are you a business owner, entrepreneur, or professional? If so, we want you to apply to be a featured guest on our show. My name is Adam Torres, and I host the Mission Matters series of podcasts. I've recorded over 3,000 episodes, and we are just getting started. How do you know if you'd be a good guest to be on the show? Well, only one way to find out, and that's to apply, but I'm going to let you in on a little secret. We want guests that have a story to tell. Guests with a brand, a product, or a service that can benefit my audience of listeners. If this sounds like you, go to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. I'd love to talk to you and get to know more about your story. Again, head on over to missionmatters.com and click on Be Our Guest to Apply. All right, now let's get into the show.
Hey, I'd like to welcome you to another episode of Mission Matters Innovation, your source for all things innovation. My name is Adam Torres. You can follow me on Instagram at AskAdamTorres. And if you'd like to apply to be a guest on the show, just head on over to the website, missionmatters.com, and click on Become a Guest to Apply. All right. So today I have Brian McCann on the line, and he's CEO over at Intergalactic, formerly known as Airborne ECS. Brian, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Adam. I'm happy to be here. Real excited to talk to you today.
Oh, man, I'm excited to talk to you today, because I'll tell you what, we've had this whole community of the of space and space innovation that's been going on and that we've been bringing on the show. And I'm just connecting all you guys. And it's just, I'm just excited to see what's taking place. So I'm great. I'm happy to announce and bring to my audience and others the name change that you're going through. We're also going to talk about innovation and what makes your product so special. And we'll get into all of that. But maybe the starting point should be, I mean, how'd you get started on this aerospace path?
It's interesting because I've always been exposed to the aerospace industry through my family. So my grandfather back in the 50s, he was in Los Angeles graduating from college. He was an aerospace engineer grad, and he had some patents on some rotary actuators that actually made a lot of sense for the aerospace industry. And so almost right away, he interfaced with the aerospace industry and worked for some companies out there. And then a company in New York wanted to license some of his products. So they brought him out there. And then he moved to St. George, Utah, where we're located in the 70s, and started a company called Ram Company in his garage, which was rotary actuators and linear actuators. So solenoids, eventually solenoid valves. And these all went on aircraft. And so the company is still here today. It's a 45-year-old. 100% privately owned company, but that's really how I got started in this industry.
Man, so you're aerospace blue blood, multi-generation, and in of all things. Come on, that's awesome. I'm like, what is this like? I would never think of some of the space innovation happening in garages. Like one of my previous guests, Edmund Burke, he started his company in his garage. Like he got a patent on something, on a product, and now here he is many years later doing that. I mean, it's just, I love bringing this out because a lot of, there's a lot of entrepreneurs out there, people, different things that they want. Some people want to make things. Some people want services. I mean, lots of different things. And so just seeing this journey and what's taking place, and really to me, like this space renaissance, what do you think people out there that want to get involved just in general, that may be a little bit further behind than you, of course, what kind of things would you tell them?
Well, it's interesting because a bunch of paradigms are being challenged. And so you kind of see this this industry that is built on bureaucracy, and there's tons of rules and certifications and things. So it's actually seen as sort of a barrier to invest in this market. And then you have, I guess, the shining example would be Elon Musk with SpaceX coming in and just saying, this is inefficient, and we're going to challenge all these paradigms and processes that have been established in this industry, catching a lot of flack from established industry partners, but pushing forward and doing amazing things to just totally upend the pace of speed of going to market with a rocket. I mean, that's insane. So we're really living in an interesting time, but that's cascading down through the space market. And so for us, it's so important to be in front of that and be part of it, because there is so much opportunity. So for me personally, being involved in this industry my whole life, I'm still fairly young, but I've got, 20 years of experience in aerospace. And so I know all the nuance of it. And I also, my generation, I told my wife I'm a wise old millennial. I'm right on the cusp of being a millennial. But the thing that's interesting is the way the this generation works and looking at inefficiencies and attacking them. I totally get that, and I can totally see how some of the established players have missed the boat there. So I think there's tons of opportunity. I think you just really have to have a good idea and a developed path, and also some knowledge of how the industry works so you can attack those inefficiencies.
So I want to stick on that whole theme of innovation and innovation really being needed in aerospace in general. So, I mean, there was, you're going through, I guess we should start here. So you're going through a big name change. So formerly known as Airborne ECS, now Intergalactic, like why the reason for the name change?
Well, for one thing, we never really liked the name Airborne ECS. The whole aerospace industry is sort of littered with these generic name companies, and they've got these logos that are, you know, blue logos that are complex and not very appealing. And so we acquired Airborne ECS 2 years ago. And at the time, it was just a company with an idea, but not, it didn't really have a product. They had a product and concept, but we thought the product was innovative. And as we moved along, and I was working with, you know, the leaders of the company and the engineers that I work with every day, which are fantastic people. I mean, that's really, it's just awesome to have these guys around me. But we started talking about who we were, and we started working with a brand agency, not to change our name, but to really bond, to form core values, to make sure we're on the same page with everything. And everything we discussed together was aligned. It was all innovation, pushing forward, pushing boundaries, having ambition, being able to do things in a way that's different, that makes sense to our generation, but push these huge, massive, cool platforms forward into another generation. And so as we did that, the guy who was with us said, do you feel like your name, he asked a pointed question, do you feel like your name represents that? And even though we'd grown to love the name because of what we made it, because of all those things that had codified relationships and late nights and, you know, amazing technical barriers that we'd crossed, we realized that the name really didn't reflect who we were. And so we went through this process and we got together and we said, hey, we're not going to change the name unless we all are on the same page. And we came across the name Intergalactic, and all of us just said, yep, that's it. All of us grew up Beastie Boys fans. And it just spoke to our generation. And so it's innovative in and of itself. You don't see a name or a branding like that most of the time in aerospace. Mm-hmm. It also represents something larger for us. And that's where the market is going. And that these constraining technologies need to be attacked, like thermal management, if we're ever going to have intergalactic travel. So it is a constant reminder to us of what we're trying to achieve. And that is to pave the way for us to do things that are incredible, that push the human race forward, like intergalactic travel. So.
Oh man, love it. And I was hoping that Beastie Boys had something to do with it. And I think I'm going to like 4,000 interviews and you just made my week. Let me just throw that out there. I haven't been able to say Beastie Boys on an interview yet.
Oh, we love the Beastie Boys. So anyways, we wanted to be a little bit, we were a little bit more overt with it up front, but then I said, you know, the Beastie Boys are so cool, but what's not cool is getting sued by the Beastie Boys. So we tried not to, go there, but we are making it our own and everything. And it just speaks to who we are. I mean, everything about it is us and we love it. So.
Oh man. That's awesome. So let's go a little bit further into the company itself. So you acquired the company. I mean, whenever you're acquiring a company, and the product wasn't quite done, as you mentioned. I mean, what was the next steps? Like, where are you at now?
Well, these guys, the engineers that came on with us, they loved it and believed in it. And I think that's the thing that really convinced me to take this to our board and try and get them to invest in it. It was just a level of commitment I had never seen, where guys were not getting paid. I mean, they're using their 401ks to keep the lights on, paying utility bills. I mean, it was just a really interesting environment, but being able to be there and say, and they have this concept and they had a few things here and there, but they didn't have the ultimate vision, the system, a full aerospace-worthy system put together. And so we really had to go in and look at it, say, you know, there's a really long runway from starting a company like this and actually producing a product. Even if you're innovative, aerospace is known for like, you know, 15 years of development, which is ridiculous. And so we got it down to just a few years, but even a few years for a startup is a lot to to carry, right? So we did invest in it. We took over majority control. We moved it down to St. George, Utah, and incubated it with the parent company, Ram Company. So you got this established aerospace company. It's got all the bells and whistles. It's got all the systems in place. And you're taking a startup and saying, like, you know, this is your, you know, you can pull from it wherever you need to, but you can be separate companies and establish your own identity. And that was really cool. So we go through that process, had to get a bunch of stuff in order there. And then we went into, well, we need to build the product. I mean, we had financing in place. We had everything lined up that way and really just dove into overcoming the remaining technical hurdles to build it. And when we did, all the analysis that these guys had done for years all came together and proved out in reality. The military came in and watched it perform and said they just bought off on it, did exactly what we said it would do. And from there, it sort of took off.
Wow. So let's go further into the product side of things. So what makes your product so groundbreaking? I mean, let's talk about what it could mean for just space exploration.
Yeah, it's a good question, because the aerospace market and the space market, you can see this with NASA. They really adopted, instead of like an innovative type of way of going about doing things, they really focused a lot on incrementalism, a zero risk mentality, cost cutting. Those things are all understandable, but innovation got pushed out the door. So you see the Apollo missions going to the moon, JFK's famous speech, you know, they're there a few years later. And then all of a sudden in the 2000s, we have a space shuttle that has all sorts of design flaws and is super expensive to launch, and they're not going anywhere close to the moon. So we really went backward over time when we should have gone forward. And so it really was an interesting time, but, now I think what's interesting is with innovation changing a little bit here, where you've got all of this private funding coming out of Silicon Valley that's dumping into aerospace, and it's allowing these companies to not be so incrementalist. So they can focus on really doing things with modern technology that pushes things forward. So our product specifically is a thermal management system, which maybe doesn't sound like it's all that great on its face. I tell people we do really cool air conditioners, but what's interesting about it is in aerospace platforms, weight and size have always mattered. They matter a lot, because the heavier your aircraft is, the more fuel burn you have. And so it's not just the cost of the system or how much power it has. It's also what it's doing to the aircraft. So they, you know, like a company like Boeing will fight for literally ounces to get ounces off their platform. And so we looked at the thermal management systems that were out there and clean sheeted the whole thing. So we don't use existing OEM equipment anywhere in our system. We redesigned everything using modern technology. Our system performs at every level about 300 to 400% better than anything else on the market.
Wow.
Why that matters is all these aircraft are packing more and more electronics on board. And just like your home computer, you need how your computer has a fan, there's a cooling system. Just like that, but on a much larger level, you've got a lot of heat that's being generated. Space platforms and aerospace platforms are being pushed further than they've ever been pushed, and it's generating more heat than ever. And our system comes in and can work 300 to 400% better, more efficiently, and weighs 50 to 100 pounds less than anything else on the market. It's completely benchmark setting, game changing technology. So that's really, really cool.
Wow, what an amazing story, number one. And I love this idea of innovation and just coming in and, I mean, 300%, how's the industry accepting this? So you mentioned that, you know, military came in and saw it and it's game changer. I mean, how's the overall industry accepting this?
Well, it's interesting, because you have the existing, infrastructure there, which is really monopolistic. Mm-hmm. You've got the big companies like Northrop, Lockheed, Boeing at the top. Mm-hmm. And then you have this new infrastructure that's emerged, led by, you know, SpaceX, but you have companies like Ariane Supersonic, Boom Supersonic, you know, electric platforms that are popping up all over the place. And so those guys, the guys that are trying to make a supersonic aircraft that can go from New York to London in a half hour or whatever,
yeah,
they get it because they theoretically understand how their platform can do that, but they've had to approach it from a different angle. Mm-hmm. And it's a different way of thinking. The OEMs sometimes have a hard time because they're publicly funded. And again, that zero risk mentality of, we don't want to introduce any risk, but we want to be innovative, but really we don't want any risk and we really want to save money. That's really how that goes. And so what happens to their culture though, is they forget or don't really understand how to innovate as a team. And so when we approach them with these results, on the existing OEM side, most of the responses are, there's no way you can do that. And then we say, wow, well, we can do it and we have done it and we'll show you. And when we do, they all want to work with us. And so we haven't really done any, you know, explicit marketing or advertising or anything like that. But we, through word of mouth, we've exploded in growth. And we're winning all these platforms because these companies are like, if you can really do that, it's game changing for us. So that's really cool.
Wow. So I love hearing that word growth, but with growth and with popularity and with an innovative product like yours, I mean, there comes challenges, right?
Oh, absolutely. Every day, all the time. Yeah.
That's awesome. I get it. And I love it. And I love bringing these type of success stories to my audience. And I love getting the insight into what's going on in innovation and space. So what's next? I mean, what's next for Intergalactic? What do you see on the horizon?
Well, you know, every single aircraft utilizes an environmental control system. It's a necessary part of an aircraft architecture. So with what we're seeing and what we're doing, we can really go anywhere. Mm. We're working with commercial companies. We're heavy in with the military, the space companies, but space is the most interesting, I think. Mm. The space economy is going to explode. And that's why I think you're seeing a lot of startups in that industry. I believe I read somewhere that within the next 20 years, it would get up to like, what was it? $1 trillion industry, something like that. But it passes aerospace,
yeah,
on the aviation side. And it's really, really fun to be involved in that industry. So you do have more private money than ever going to that industry. And it's funding this just next generation space boom, kind of like you alluded to before. Mm-hmm. And so that's really where we're being pushed into, high-end thermal management for space. And then on the aviation side, it's more of the companies that are sort of blurring the boundary between aviation and space. So the supersonics and hypersonics, these companies that build planes that go way up in the atmosphere, really hot to operate in that area. That's another area for us that's really big. Electric aircraft. Our whole system was designed for electric aircraft. Essentially, it's a 270-volt architecture that, it's a smart system. I mean, there's just nothing like it on the market. It's got so many features where it's pushing data to the end user that's customized so that they can see what's going on with the system. Mm-hmm. All the rest of our competing systems are dumb systems. They just turn them on. I always think, I explained this to my wife and I said, every time I say that, I think of them going in and like pulling a ripcord like a lawnmower. Yeah. You know, because it just runs the whole time, constant, just super inefficient. Whereas our system has no oil in it, it's running super efficient the whole time and just producing at a higher level. So very, very, for high-end aerospace and space platforms, it's really, there's nothing better.
Like, I love your explanations are great. So you're like, yeah, we make really cool air conditioners. By the way, they're better than when, you know how you pull your lawnmower? Like, it's not like that. These are really no oil, no...
It's incredible, man. Like, you look at what's out there and we outperform everybody, but also the quality of what's out there. Nobody competes at any level.
So exciting, Brian. Well, hey, I just want to say, first off, thank you for coming on the show today. It's been great having you on. And I love getting this insight into what's going into space and what's going on in space and what's going on in innovation. I think it's just great. If somebody is watching this, Brian, and they want to follow the path and see what's going on at Intergalactic, I mean, what's the best way for people to keep up and to follow your work?
So you can go to our website, it's ig.space. And then also you can just Google us, Intergalactic. We're in St. George, Utah. And you can always email me as well. It's brianm@ig.space.
Fantastic.
So, yeah.
Brian, it's been a pleasure again. Thank you for coming on the show today. And to the audience, as always, thank you for tuning in. Hope you got a lot of value out of this. Hope you enjoyed. If you did, don't forget to hit that subscribe button. We have many more great guests coming up for you, just like Brian. And Brian, thanks again for coming on. It's been great.
Thank you, Adam. I appreciate the time.